how are you guys doing? Amazing. As you probably know from that, I'm Matthew Klicka. Okay, so they say that your attention span is your age in minutes, and I know that's probably the case for definitely me towards people who are talking, but I don't know if that's for people listening to themselves talk, so we're going to find out tonight. Pastor Justin does not know what he did with giving me the mic. So let's get right into it. I feel that the Lord has placed this upon my heart this summer, really, over the summer, especially more so after I found out that I was preaching today. It's always in a way, at least for me this summer, where you're always thinking about it. You're always dwelling on it and going, man, I wonder what this is about. And you look it up in your daily devotions. And then when I found out with this, God basically told me this is where you're supposed to bring it up. So if you will stand with me and we'll pray for the sermon tonight. Dear God, I pray that tonight, with the words that you have told me to speak, that eyes may be opened and hearts may be opened and ears may be listening to what you have to speak to each and one of our hearts. May we get something out of what you have to tell us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the work you're going to do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, and I start off with a couple of verses right off the bat. Isaiah 60, 1 through 3 is, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Philippians 2, 14 through 15 says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So this brings me to my bottom line today, which is shine bright, baby. Shine bright, baby. Shine bright, baby. All right, so once there were these brothers who probably grew up as normal kids and teenagers like most of us. They were taught by their parents to do the normal things of life, religion, school, how to do responsibility, finances, whatever. They were normal teenagers like a lot of us can relate to. When they got to the point where they could go out on their own, when they could leave the house, they decided to start their own small business. So they decided to pick up the fishing industry. So when they took up the fishing industry, their business became very successful, and they lived a good lifestyle. It was successful in finances. And however, they didn't know what would happen to them this one day that would change their lives forever. On a normal day out on the water fishing, like they do all the time, 40 hours a week, I'm sure, if not more, and just chilling in the boat, fishing, they were probably having a conversation like, hey, did you see the results of the chariot races yesterday? Did you see that Ben-Hur really ripped it up in the stadium? He showed those Romans. When they saw a dude on the shore, which probably being on a major lake, sea, was not that uncommon to see people on the beach. But for some reason, he caught their attention, no pun intended. Then he looked out at them, swoosh. None of you got that. And then he looked out at them, and this man on the beach told them three words that would change their lives forever. And those three words were, come, follow me. Now imagine if you were out boating on the lake, and you were out on the tube or whatever, and you saw this dude on the side of the lake yell out to you, hey, come follow me. I can pretty much bet you none of you would take him up on his offer. You would probably brush him off and say, what, this dude is crazy. Why would I go follow this dude that I can barely even see, let alone know who he is? But these brothers didn't have quite the same reaction as most of us would have. In fact, instead of brushing him off or ignoring him, they were drawn to him and immediately dropped their fishing nets, what they were doing, and rowed over to the shore and took him up on his offer. Now, this is the story of Andrew and Simon Peter's calling to be Jesus' first disciples, which can be found in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The amazing part of this story is how it says in the Gospel of Luke that these men left everything to follow the Lord. Everything. This meant that these guys left their successful business, left their family, left the comfort of a comfortable lifestyle. These guys gave it all up to follow a guy that they've never met nor seen before. These guys would no longer have a normal life. From this point on, they would be the ones called to stand out and to go against the flow of how religion was carried out in that day, Jerusalem. Now, Jesus doesn't mean that when you accept Christ, he wants you to abandon your parents, wife, children, or job, even though for some of you, abandoning your parents or your job might be a pleasant thing to you. Parents, not so much, but job, maybe. However, what Jesus did mean was that when you give your life to him, you are no longer living your life for yourself. As it says in Colossians 3:17, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." We see that instead of living life for other people to praise you, your life should be lived to bring praise to the Lord. So this brings me to my first blank, which is God requires everything. Everything. Alrighty, so God had laid a calling on Andrew and Simon Peter's life back when they were young and kids growing up, so that when they received the actual physical calling that Jesus gave them when they were adults, they were willing to leave it all and go in. If he didn't lay the calling on their life earlier, they would probably have brushed him off like the rest of us would have. In the same way, once we decide to follow Christ, we are giving up our own interests, plans, future agenda, and even our reputation among our friends, family, and strangers to follow Jesus in whatever he calls us to do, no matter how extreme it seems to be and how uncomfortable or embarrassing the situation is. In fact, the more and more you obey God in doing what he has called you to do and is telling you to do, the more and more confidence you build in doing what he has told you to do, and the less and less embarrassing it becomes for you, really. It's practice makes perfect, really. So it becomes less awkward, and I'm sure for any of you that have done that first thing outside of your comfort zone, it was very awkward for you the first time. So I have grown up in a Christian home, and I'm still growing up in a Christian home, and was taught Christian principles, and generally, I think I've been a pretty good kid. That's not arrogant, but the older I got and the more aware I became of the world around me and the Christian world, I realized that we stand out as Christians on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, but on the rest of the days of the week, we don't normally live as we do on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. Generally, we do our own thing on the rest of the days of the week and blend in with the way the world works. Growing up, my family set rules in the beginning about Christian music and the fact that when we listened to music, we had to only listen to Christian music. And the older I became, the less of a rule this became, as more of a principle I was taught, the reasons why you obeyed my parents as to why we only listen to Christian music. And I realized that with this area, I was blending into the workings of the world and trying to maintain status quo. One way I tried not to stand out and to blend in was listening to harder music and harder music as it went on. I tried to achieve or attain a cool status with the people around me or people I didn't even know, if they asked me, oh, hey, what music do you like? Even when I have gone to Best Buy to test out music systems with awesome sound systems with bass, if you haven't done it, it's quite fun to do. And I would play music off of my phone. I would play the more neutral music on my phone that didn't necessarily mention Jesus, or bands that people would recognize and not necessarily go, oh, that's them. Also, maybe because they would give me a good status in their mind as to, oh, he listens to them. He's a cool guy. And I don't even talk to them. I don't meet them. I don't even know what they're really thinking. Also, I would tend to ride the line of what bands I would listen to. I would press the line of Christian bands to where bands that would call themselves Christian but weren't really, and they didn't live out the life. So I would push the line for what my parents had set and what I believed. And this was one of the ways that I tried to look average and blend in with the world. At Desperation, how many of you guys went to Desperation?
What?
Yeah. The rest of you guys totally missed out. But at Desperation, God convicted me of the attitude in which I approached listening to music. I was doing it with a total wrong attitude. I was using as my music that I listened to as a facet to blend in with the world and not stand out and not look like, oh yeah, you are the Christian, you are the Jesus freak. Christian music reference for those of you that listen to music. God convicted me of the attitude that I was using my music for. Now I still like the music that, like, Disciple, Red, whatever, but it was with a different attitude that I did it before. So for you, it may not be the music as it had been for me, but it also could be areas you're holding back from God, like your relationships, your finances, media, friends, etc. Anything in your life that God would want in everything of you that you're holding back from him. He wants all of you. And any part that you hold back from him is one area that you either are using or have the potential to use to blend in and look average to the world. Now, however, if we look at what the disciples were like and what their actions were like in following Jesus, and in Simon Peter and Andrew's case, leaving their nets instantly and following Jesus, they weren't trying to appear average at all. In fact, I think the disciples in general were trying to do about everything to not appear average. They were called extreme, crazy, idiots, whatever. In fact, a study was done among born-again Christians, teenagers actually, born-again Christian teenagers, asking them if they had shared the gospel with someone of another faith or no faith at all, in the hope that they would accept Jesus as their Savior. In only a matter of 10 years, there was nearly a 20% drop in the number of teens who witnessed the past year. So Christian teenagers are buying into the culture's idea that it is not good to share your faith aggressively, but to keep your faith to yourself, which is a lie, because Jesus wants you to do the exact opposite. He wants you to stand out there. Another study was done on how religious our generation is, and that 65% of millennials, ages 13 to 17, 65% of us claim to be Christian. Of the 65%, only 32% believe that Jesus was the only way to heaven. Also, of the 65%, only 20% of those who called themselves Christians actually practiced it by doing the basics of attending church, reading their Bible, and praying. That means that I'm not good at math particularly, but that's probably around 10 to 15% of the total teen population. That leaves 85% of all of teens who do not believe in Jesus. If you've been coming on Sunday mornings, then you know that we've been praying for our generation. And I believe that if we stand out and shine among our generation, that we could change the course of where our generation is going. Our generation has become one of the most godless generations in all of, definitely the history of America. I don't know necessarily about the world. But I believe that if we have the genuine conviction that we should have in living as Christians, then we could change the world, just as the disciples did back in the days of the early church. Matthew 5:16 says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." I decided to look up what the word shine means in this verse, and the definition literally means to emit light, to reflect light, glint or glisten, to distinguish oneself in an activity or field. So Jesus means for us to literally reflect him and to distinguish ourselves among others, among our peers, among our parents and family. This means that everything we do and everything that other people should see, well, not should see, everything they see, should reflect the glory of the Lord, so that people, when they see us, should see the Lord and give glory directly toward the Lord. One time I was quoting to my dad in a library some of the book of Mark, and after about 45 minutes of quoting to my dad, there was a lady that was sitting next to us the entire time. And when we were done, she asked me and him and I, if we both believed what I was talking about and what I was quoting. And we said, yes, of course, we believe. And after we had gotten done talking about some of what we believed and what was going on, we finally had the chance to be able to pray with her right in the middle of the library, and she accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior that night. During the whole process, it was definitely uncomfortable for me, but the feeling that making it obvious that we stood out enough for her to see the Lord in us and that we were genuine and that that could impact the life of someone so much that they would want it for themselves, that feeling was like no other. So this brings me to my second blank, which is to shine is an honor. To shine is an honor. To shine is an honor. All right, so you think we're shining the Lord, and so why should we shine the Lord? Well, we look at what he's done for us, and God sent his one and only Son, his one and only Son from perfect heaven, where he was given glory eternally, where he was sitting on his throne, where people, the angels and the people who were up there were praising him forever and ever and ever. And God decided, I'm going to send my one and only Son down to this miserable, broken world full of hate, greed, envy, and, well, every other sin you can imagine. And not only did he send his Son down to this disappointing world, but he knew the purpose of his Son being on this earth was to bring his light to the world, and in the process of doing so, he would be mocked, laughed at, spat upon, and would eventually suffer the most agonizing way to die ever invented in the world of mankind. In fact, I watched a show on the Discovery Channel once, and it was on different torture methods used throughout history, like the electric chair, waterboarding, the Chinese bull, and then they talked about crucifixion, and they actually ranked crucifixion as the worst way to die and the cruelest way of torture ever invented in all of mankind. This was Discovery Channel. But the crazy thing is that Jesus did this for us. He did this for you. And he didn't do it for you because you deserved it. Goodness, no. We each know ourselves. We know we've messed up. And all of us have messed up because Romans 3:23 says, "For we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Now, I don't have a son. Yes, I know, obvious to you all. I hope. Or a little brother to relate this to. But for those of you who do have a son, or you have a little brother, try to imagine giving that little brother or your one and only son up to people that have messed up and done wrong to you. Let that sink in. To people who have messed up and done wrong to you. And you would give your one son to these people that have messed up toward you. I'm sure we wouldn't have given up our one son. But after he gave up his one son to die, the most agonizing death in history, to die for us, for our sins, what is our gratitude toward God for doing this? What do we show him? We show him on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, but is that what God really asks of us? He asks of us to give him everything, to devote our lives to him. And our gratitude to the God who saved our lives is to treat him in such a way that we don't want other people to know that, oh, we're followers of him, and in such a way that we don't want other people to know that there is good news out there for them, that there is hope. That's treating him without respect. That's treating our God without respect. Back in the Middle Ages, or even throughout all history, if someone saved your life in battle, you would devote yourself and you would say, "Hey, I owe you my life. I give you my life." Or if you were higher ranked, you would give them like sonhood or something. I think that's what it's called. And Jesus Christ definitely saved our life. So why don't we devote our life to him? We should devote our life completely and utterly to Jesus Christ. We should feel honored that we get to show the Lord's glory and the Lord's light through ourselves to the world around us. So this leads me to my third blank, which is standing out is satisfying. Standing out is satisfying. All right. So Matthew 5:6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." John 4:14 says, "But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Psalm 16:11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Too many of us, including myself, when it finally clicks in your mind, I know when it finally clicked in my mind, of what it really meant to shine bright to the world, it was kind of frightening. It was like, wow, that's what it really means? But when you truly hand it over to the Lord, when you truly hand everything you have over to the Lord and drink fully of his goodness, you realize that the things we try to hold on to in this world, whether it's job, school, money, anything that we can put before God, when we try to hold on to it, it does not even come close to the satisfaction that the Lord brings. In fact, it doesn't come close even to the point where it doesn't provide satisfaction. Jesus is the only one who provides satisfaction. So there's no even comparison there. There is nothing that compares to the satisfaction and fulfillment that comes from surrendering your entire life to the Lord. The Lord assures us that the decision we make in surrendering our entire lives to Him and shining His light to the world and reflecting Him is a decision that we will never regret. There is no buyer's regret that comes with selling out to Jesus. I first accepted Christ when I was 3 years old, but I really didn't know the gravity of it, of what it really meant to accept Jesus Christ into my life, was until I was around 9 or 10. And that's when I approached my mom and I'm like, hey, I would really like to pray the prayer again because I really now really understand it. And that's when I totally sold out to Jesus. To this day, I have yet to regret selling out to Jesus. And we don't really like people and celebrities, whatever, who sell out to people. Those are like, oh man, they're not who they are anymore. But neither are we. But this is a good thing because we sell out to the one only true God who is all magnificent, all encompassing, the Lord of the universe. I have yet to regret it. And I am 100% confident I will never regret it for the rest of my life. It may be hard at times, but that comes with the decisions of that magnitude of devoting your life to someone. So, will you stand with me? And as the band comes up and the leaders are coming up to the front, I think there are two areas of response we can take out of this tonight. One, if you're someone who has been living that average lifestyle that you kind of blend in with the workings of things around you and you don't really feel like you're standing out and being that Christian that God has called you to be, then maybe you feel like God's tugging at your heart and saying, you really need to give it all to me. You won't regret it. That you need to surrender it all to the Lord. So maybe you're in that category of needing to surrender your life to the Lord and living a life of shining out for the Lord. Or maybe you've never given your life to the Lord in the first place. And I can assure you that God loves you too much to see you in the way that you are. That God loves you a lot, and more than anyone could ever love you. And true satisfaction comes in finding Him. And if you haven't accepted Christ, I strongly encourage you to accept Jesus Christ for the first time. If you feel the Lord tugging at your heart to come up here, the best thing you can do is obey what He asks. It's the first step to standing out there and being the one who says, yes, I will be the one who follows the Lord. And I will make it public that I do. And you know what? If you come up here to any of the leaders and you think, oh, what will people think of me? And you may not consciously think of that, but I know I've thought of that before. You know what? People really aren't judging you or thinking, oh, what are they going up there for? It's really not the case. It's all in your head. So I strongly encourage you to come up here as the band is playing, and if you want to accept Christ, they will lead you through the prayer to become a Christian, and all of heaven will rejoice, and we will rejoice with you. So let's bow our head and close.